welcome to another Vox Talk recorded at the CEPR Annual Symposium in Paris. My name is Tim Phillips. When President Trump followed through on his threat to start a trade war with China in 2018, the jaws of many trade economists dropped. But in some economically depressed parts of the US, this was a popular decision. As a candidate, Trump had promised that we are going to bring jobs back to our country, and the region that he promised would see the benefits would be the oft-neglected area known as the Heartland. So, what happened next? And what does this tell us about the outlook for US trade policy in 2025? This is the focus of a recent paper by David Dorn of the University of Zurich and his co-authors. When I caught up with David at the symposium, I asked him where we could find the heartland on the US map, and why is it still so important both economically and politically?
The heartland is the region of the US that's away from the big Atlantic and Pacific coasts. And it's really in the inside of the country where a lot of the old manufacturing towns are that are very much affected by trade policy.
It's got a reputation for being neglected, the flyover zone.
There is a debate on whether the elites that are often in the big cities along the coasts are neglecting the needs of people that are in that in-between area.
Now, you investigated the impact of the tariffs that came in with the first Trump administration. What were those tariffs? Take us back. And what were the impacts of the trade war that you investigated?
In early 2018, the US government first introduced a set of tariffs on very specific goods from specific countries like washing machines and solar panels. But then they turned to a much bigger block of tariffs that were directed at imports of steel and aluminum from all kinds of other countries. That then led other countries to retaliate against the US with tariffs of their own, and the US eventually entered into a spiral of tariffs and counter-tariffs, especially targeted and reciprocated by China.
And what were you investigating as the impact?
We ask whether these tariff policies, inclusive of the counter-tariffs that they triggered, in the end helped the US government to achieve what arguably were the goals of these policy, namely one, Trump had clearly announced that he wanted to fix trade and bring back jobs to America. And second, perhaps a bit more implicitly, the goal might also have been to shore up political support for the government and the governing party.
At the time, was anyone making the argument that this could be a good policy, even if it did cost jobs? Or was it all about the jobs?
Well, of course, there has been the argument that tariffs might be good because by not letting in imports from abroad, one would have much more demand for domestic manufacturers, which in turn could lead to sustained job creation in domestic factories. Economists were from the start very skeptical about that claim because the overall impression from past episodes of tariffs have been that oftentimes such job creation is relatively small, at least small, compared to the cost that a country bears if it foregoes the opportunity to access cheaper foreign goods.
So, when you're investigating the impact of these tariffs, which periods are you looking at, which industries, which places?
We look at a relatively short period from the start of 2018, when the first set of these tariffs came into place, until the end of 2019, which marks both the end of the Trump presidency, but also then the onset of the COVID pandemic, which brought massive turmoil to both international trade and labor markets.
And to the data that you're using to measure it as well.
Yes, and so it's difficult to then trace out very clearly the impacts beyond that period just because both trade and employment were affected in such a quantitatively massive way during the pandemic.
But during that time that you are measuring the impact of tariffs, how do you manage to do that to separate the causal effect of the tariffs from everything else that's happening in the economy?
So the causal inference is based on the notion that we compare different detailed regions of the United States that prior to this tariff war looked very similar in terms of their economic development and especially their employment trajectories. And then the idea is that two places in the same region of the country with the same overall concentration of employment in manufacturing or in agriculture and mining would become differentially exposed to these tariffs because the tariffs hit very specifically some detailed industries that are very strongly involved in international trade.
So with this causal relationship, what can you say about the impact of the first wave of import tariffs?
So the import tariffs, they had, according to our estimates, at the very best, a weak positive effect on local employment in those regions where a lot of industries gained import tariff protection. In other estimates, the effect is zero or even slightly negative.
Right. But of course, as you've already mentioned, this became a trade war. There were retaliatory tariffs as well. So when you put that together with the original tariffs, what's the impact?
The retaliatory tariffs had a consistently measured significant negative impact on employment in those places that faced a lot of retaliatory tariffs. Many of these places were actually regions of the United States that have a large employment concentration in agriculture. In places, for instance, that are heavily specialized in the production of cotton, it really did become a big problem that the number one export market for cotton, namely China, imposed big tariffs on US exports.
The government did offer subsidies, didn't it, to mitigate the effect and economic effect of these tariffs. Did those subsidies succeed in making up for what any of these businesses were losing?
The US government offered subsidies to farmers and agricultural firms that were supposedly negatively affected by the foreign tariffs. But of course, these subsidies, they were meant to compensate the owners of farms for their losses and not necessarily to make workers whole.
Ah, right, of course, yes.
So when we look at employment effects, we see that in places that got a lot of subsidies, there was a little bit of an uptick in employment, but that one fell well short of compensating for the employment losses due to retaliatory tariffs. And if you add up all these effects, the employment effects of the import tariffs, of the retaliatory tariffs, and of the subsidies, then you end up with a total effect that's very close to zero. So overall, it just doesn't seem to be the case that this trade war had, on average, a big effect on employment. And certainly, we don't find any evidence that this policy was successful in bringing back jobs to America at a large scale.
We assume that the local economy often drives voting behavior, and that's something that you measured as well. It's the economy, stupid, is the phrase. So did this effect undermine support for the Republican Party that had advocated so much for these tariffs?
When we look at the electoral outcomes, both for US Congress and for the US presidential elections, we see that in those locations that were exposed to the parts of the trade war that were in tendency favorable for employment, that is, in places that got more import tariff protection and more farm subsidy, there were gains in Republican vote shares. In places that faced mostly the negative consequences of the retaliatory tariffs, there were losses for Republicans. But these losses for Republicans in retaliatory tariff places were quite weak. So it looks as if voters credited the government for the measures that the US government directly imposed, namely the US tariffs and the farm subsidies, but didn't punish the government as much for the tariffs that foreign countries imposed on the US in response to the US tariff measures.
This certainly isn't ancient history, and the same arguments were being used again in the election that we have just had, which resulted in a victory for Donald Trump, a clear victory for Donald Trump. So we're saying overall that this has not, in these regions, has not impacted his popularity?
Overall, the effect was that in the average place, there wasn't a meaningful gain in employment. There was actually a notable improvement for Republican electoral outcomes because the government was rewarded for import tariff protection and on the flip side wasn't punished too much for retaliatory tariffs. The net for employment was zero. For the electoral outcomes, it was actually a gain for Republicans. And so one could say that even though this policy didn't really work in terms of economic impacts, it did seem to be a gain in political sense.
So we're back here again, but the scale of the tariffs promised this time in 2025 is much larger, isn't it? Now, economically, is there anything about the structure of the economy or the type of tariffs that might lead us to believe it would have a different effect in 2025 as it did in 2018?
I think it's somewhat hard to envision. I mean, one thing I should say that these analyses which look at voting outcomes in regional locations cannot assess is whether any event, tariff war or otherwise, just shifts electoral support homogeneously throughout the whole country. So clearly, if one escalated a tariff war to an extent where there are very palpable, severe negative economic consequences for a country, you might imagine that actually everywhere people eventually become skeptical of government performance. But I would say what's really hard to predict now going forward is to what extent these tariffs that are now being announced are tariffs that will really come, and to what extent these tariffs are threats with which the US government tries to get concessions from other countries. So in particular, Donald Trump has announced tariffs now against Canada and Mexico with a justification that has nothing to do with trade policy. Instead, he says that Canada and Mexico supposedly don't do a good job in combating illegal migration and smuggling. It's quite possible that the US government might actually succeed in forcing these countries to make some concessions, and then the tariffs that have been threatened will never be implemented.
The analysis that you and your colleagues do that concludes this, it's been well reported. Is the reaction that you get from people who promote the trade war on the Republican side that you're numbers are wrong, or is it just that this is a price worth paying because it wins them elections?
You know, an interesting thing is that these results are somewhat a difficult message, not only for Republicans, but also for Democrats.
Ah.
Once Trump left office, the incoming Biden government actually left most of these Trump tariffs in place. And so earlier this year, when our results circulated, a journalist asked the current US trade representative why the government had kept all these tariffs, even though they're not successful at generating employment. And this US minister then argued that the tariffs supposedly are part of a US security interest.
Huh, right. Well, I feel, David, that there is going to be some more analysis done by you in the near future, and I hope we'll be reporting on that as well. But for now, thank you very much.
It has been a pleasure.
That paper is Help for the Heartland: The Employment and Electoral Effects of the Trump Tariffs in the United States. The authors, David Otor and Beck, Gordon Hansen and David Dawn.
This has been a Vox Talk from the CEPR Paris Symposium 2024. Next week, quantifying the impact of sanctions on Russia, both on its banks and its firms.